How I thank God for His Word today. It is what strengthens us and gives us renewal. So I'd like to speak a little bit about that today. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 10. He talks to the saints here in verse 32. He says, "Call to remembrance the former days." I don't know how much earlier he was talking about, but it seemed like they must have been in a time of persecution, because he says, "Remember the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are not the cowards, but we are the courageous." This is what that really means. Now I want to look at the verse 36. "For you have need of patience." They had already gone through some things, and it looks like here in this scripture that they were still waiting on deliverance. And he was telling them, you're going to have a reward. You're going to be delivered. He that shall come is going to come. But he said, you have need of patience. This word patience really means endurance. You need endurance, he's saying. In order to go through what you're going through, you've got to have endurance. That word endure, it means to stay under. Stay under what? It means to remain and continue, even though you're under affliction or distress or trial or whatever, but it means to stay. It means you don't walk off, you don't run away, but you stay. That's what this word means. So you have need of endurance. It also means to take it calmly and joyfully. This word patience means calm and cheerful endurance. So it's one thing to grit your teeth and stay under your burden, but it's quite another to do it calmly and cheerfully. And that's what this is saying. He's saying this is what you need to make it through. The just person is going to live by that faithfulness and endurance. And we're not those who draw back and we're in our loss. That word perdition means to be lost. But we're those who believe and we just keep on to the saving of our souls. So he's saying here, you have need of endurance. He told them, you endured a great fight of afflictions when you first got saved. And sometimes that's the way that it is for us. You think, well, the affliction's going to be over in a little bit. But when it lasts and it lasts and it lasts, that's when the Lord says to us, you need endurance. You need cheerful and calm endurance to go through this situation. He also spoke about being made a gazing stock. That's some of the things we're going to have to endure too. Are you willing? Are we willing this morning to be looked at, to be stared at? I've had people to do that, and you have to just stay there and endure that. Just look, people looking at you. You know they're thinking all kinds of things. The other day I had a lady to ask me if if I celebrated Thanksgiving. And she said, well, I didn't know if the Amish did or not. And so I said, well, actually, I'm not Amish, but I do believe in Thanksgiving. And it's and I had a little opportunity there to witness to her. And, of course, she was all embarrassed that she had thought that I was Amish and that I wasn't. And so I had an opportunity there to show grace and put her at ease and let her know it was just fine. But people will sometimes look at us and ignore us. They don't think we're quite up to whatever society or whatever. So there's things that we have to endure. He said also you had to have endurance for afflictions because you were a companion of people who were going through things. Sometimes we're guilty by association. Well, that's just fine. We're in there with those who suffer and those who endure. Maybe we're not going through it ourselves, but he said, you took compassion of me in my bonds. I remember one of the saints one time had threats to be taken into jail for following his conscience and doing what he felt was right. And all the other people in the congregation said, well, we're getting our stuff ready because if you're going in there, we're going in there with you. Well, I don't know if the authorities would have hauled the whole congregation in. I doubt it. But anyway, they had that desire that if you suffer, we're just suffering with you. Some of the things that we have to endure, I wanted to speak about that just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read over there. Well, we could start at verse 1, but I think that's all good, very good. Let's look at verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, that's the opposite of enduring. Opposite of enduring is to get weary and faint. That word faint means to just be spiritless, to just have your spiritual breath knocked out of you, so to speak, to be so weary, to be utterly worn out and exhausted. He said, in case, or lest you do that, you consider Christ who endured. That's one of the secrets that will help us to endure, is to constantly look at Jesus. He said, you consider Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint. Another meaning for this word faint is to release or to relax your hold, to quit, to lay it down. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get so weary that we relax our hold on Christ. He said, you've forgotten. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You're not striving so hard against sin that it's making you bleed. I'm not sure what all he means there, but it seems like that he's letting him know you're not having it that bad now. And he said, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. See, the natural tendency of us when we are going through things is to faint, to get so worn out with it that we let up and we relax our hold and we just are exhausted. And this is what the Lord is saying. You need endurance. You need that ability to remain under what you're going through and to just abide and to stay there, to persevere instead of fainting. He says, if you endure chastening, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. So we must endure sometimes the chastening of the Lord. But it's a good thing, because one of the scriptures says that if we are chastened of the Lord, we won't be judged with the world. We won't go at the end of time. We won't be on the side where he says, depart from me. That's what we don't want. We'd rather have the chastening now that gets rid of the things that displease God in our lives. We'd rather go through it now than to go to the end and have gone through life scot-free of any afflictions or things to endure, but get to the end and here we've got all this stuff in our lives. So he said, if you endure chastening, God's just dealing with you as with a son that he loves. So endure it. Don't faint when you're rebuked of him. Don't faint when you feel times where God is letting you know, I want you to quit doing this. I want you to come out away from this. Don't faint and go, oh, I can't measure up. I can't do what he's wanting me to do, and just let go. Don't do that. If he's chastening you, if he's bringing you through a time where he's purging some things out of you, just remember about the lesson that he gave of the vine and the vine of grapes and the branches that he has to prune. It looks pretty bad whenever it gets pruned for the first time. But what does it look like then during the season of bearing? You prune that vine and it does better, doesn't it? It brings forth more fruit. That's all he's doing. He's pruning us. He's purging us. He's chastening us so that we could bring forth beautiful fruit and that we won't be judged with the world. So he says, you don't faint. Just endure. Endure the chastening. He's just dealing with you as with a son that he loves. You know, if your father or your mother didn't love you, they wouldn't ever correct you. But because they love you, because they know this is going to hurt you, if you keep on with this attitude or this action in your life, you're going to get to be an adult and you're going to have problems. I want to help you before you get there. Get this out of your life. That's what your father and your mother do. So why not God? God loves us so much that he's not going to allow us to have these things in our lives that are going to separate us from him, that are going to cause us pain in our own lives, that are going to cause us to be a pain to others. He's going to deal with us. So sometimes we endure chastisement. James chapter 1 tells us that we're going to endure temptation. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, what's the opposite reaction to endurance and perseverance? Is to let go. That sometimes temptation can wear on you. And you're going to be very tempted to let go and to give in. But he's saying you have need of this endurance in your life. He wants us to keep on. Now, why? What are the two things that Jesus said that's so important about endurance or patience? This word patience in the scripture is usually means endurance. Cheerful, calm endurance. Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Your very possession of your eternal life lies in your ability to endure. That's what he's saying. Another place he said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So that's the importance of endurance. Well, he said, endure. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let's see. Where is the one about enduring grief? 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe. Verse 19. For this is thankworthy, or this is praiseworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. People today don't want anybody giving them grief, do they? Don't give me no grief, that's what you hear. if you endure grief, I didn't look this word grief up. I just had thought about this scripture. But I believe it, looking at it, we can tell what it's meaning. If you endure any kind of trouble, persecution, hardship, and it's wrong. People shouldn't be doing it to you. It's wrong for them to treat you that way. But because you have a conscience toward God, that you don't believe in fighting back, that you don't believe in getting upset, that's your conscience. Your conscience says to you, don't get angry. Your conscience won't allow you to say words to them that are not nice. You're suffering, but you're having to take it. You're remaining under that whatever it is that's heaped upon you. Haven't we known people that they were so full of God's grace that they went through things like this and never said anything about it? I've known people, that's a real challenge to me. You never knew that at home they had somebody that constantly, constantly caused them grief. But when you were with them, they didn't gripe. They didn't complain. I've known people like that. That's a real challenge to me. He said that's praiseworthy. If because of your conscience toward God, where you won't complain and you won't gripe and you won't gossip and you won't get angry and you won't fight back, but you take it, he said that's praiseworthy in God's sight. It goes on, and I'm not going to cover all that it goes on to. But I was thinking of some other things that we endure. Let's see. There was a scripture that, okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord, he says here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in his grace. Endure hardness. This word hardness, in our language today, we say hardship. Endure hardship. Remain under the hardship that has been given to you. Don't try to wiggle out every time. We don't like hardship. We don't like being under hardship. But he's saying, you endure it, remain under it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Another thing, now I don't really have a scripture for this one, but I thought about this a long time. One scripture I could direct you to is the story of the wise and the foolish virgins. They had something that was supposed to last. What was that? The flame of their lamp. It was supposed to last and carry them through the night till they heard the bridegroom and went with him and entered in to the feast with him. But what happened to some of them who did not take enough fuel for their light? The light went out. They all had a time where they slumbered and slept because of a delay. And that, I remember my dad always saying, it's the delay that'll get you. It's not that they didn't want to go. They had the desire. They were all virgins. They were all called to be at the wedding feast. They were all part of the wedding party, but some of them did not prepare for a delay. Some of them did. We're going to have a delay in our lives many times. And it could be, and that's where we started with there in Hebrews 10, where he said, you have need of patience. There's a delay that you're in right now. Don't cast your confidence away at this time. Because it has great recompense of reward. He that shall come will come. He won't tarry. What he's saying is, he won't tarry too long. Yes, you're in a time of delay. And as we spoke about last Sunday, we may be calling upon the Lord and it doesn't seem like the Lord hears us. But we need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Delay is very hard for us. We have to endure delay many times. But let us remember and prepare for a delay. Prepare for a time where the Lord may not answer this prayer. I'm just going to remain here. I'm going to stay. I'm not going to relax my hold. Jesus said he gave this parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the opposite of enduring is fainting. In all of these different scriptures, it makes reference to endurance, and then it'll talk about fainting, getting so weary. So that's the danger of going through something, is that you might get so weary with it that you'll faint. Many times people have to endure disappointment. Disappointment, and oh, a particular disappointment that is very hard, is disappointment in people. I've had great disappointment in my young life, disappointment with people. People that I thought were one way, people that I thought were faithful, would never fall. And they did. There have been different times in my life where I've had to make this decision. I'm going to go through with God and believe and serve as faithfully as I know how, even though this one or that one did not prove true. There have been disappointments that I've had that just grieve me. I could cry a long time about them. And there have been disappointments so bad for people that they absolutely quit living for the Lord. Now, I knew that. I knew I couldn't do that. And just think about this. Our real connection is to the Lord. With all of our beliefs and the reason why we do things and the reason why we don't do things is not because of each other. Don't ever put your faith so much in one person that if that person themselves would fall, that you would fall too. Don't ever do that. That's a great danger. It's a great danger, and it's something that we all must endure. If you live for the Lord for a long time, or any time at all, somebody is going to disappoint you. I remember reading what a person said one time, and they said, I found out that this person was human. And it just threw her. It was ugly. How do I deal with this? We're all human. You're going to find out I make mistakes. I may forget you. I may ignore you. And I don't mean to at all. But I mean, I'm just mentioning some of the things that people get upset with. People get upset if they're forgotten. People get upset if they're ignored. People get upset if enough attention is not paid. Hey, if I would disappoint you, I hope I never do, but if I did, you hang on to God. If the person that you felt like was a very spiritual person, if that person, you found out that they had sinned and had walked away from God, what are you going to do? We've got to endure disappointment. That's very, very hard. It's one of the hardest things. It's been one of the hardest things in my life, is to keep going when my faith in someone had been dashed. But we realize that our faith in God is what really matters. Sometimes it's hard to endure when you don't feel like anything special is happening. So I thought about that. I thought that's kind of enduring boredom. Do you feel like sometimes your Christian life is just not going anywhere? Just kind of bored? And things just aren't happening? Maybe the people that you're with bore you. Maybe you're surrounded, you feel like, by dull people. There's sometimes people feel like that. I think it's because they they really need to ask the Lord, Lord, just give me a more love. Give me a burden. Give me a concern. Help me to look outside myself. I think when we get that way, we're really consumed with our self-interest. But that's something to endure sometimes when you just feel like nothing's going on. Maybe you are shut in. You broke your leg or whatever. It would be easy to get tired of the boredom. But he's saying here, you endure hardship. Whatever it is, hardness of any kind, we must endure. And endurance is our salvation. Sometimes it's hard to endure when we're doing what is right and we're doing it. No one's noticing. No one's thanking you. No one's praising you. It just seems like there's no good coming out of what you're doing, but you're hanging in there and you're doing right. Is there any reward to that? Yes, we've already read the scripture. Don't cast your confidence away because there's great recompense of reward. We must keep our eye on that. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life. Now I want to speak just a little bit about being faint. And a scripture that goes along with what I just said about doing well. And I thought about this as being especially good for mothers. That's that last one there, doing right when it seems thankless and hopeless. I think that really, that feeling comes a lot to parents, especially young parents who are caring for children. And you just, it's a round of activity, the same things every day, and it doesn't seem like that it's doing anything good and that you're going to get any reward out of it. But let me read you this scripture, Galatians 6 and 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. So even that very verse lets us know that we can become weary in well-doing. He's saying here, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So let's not faint today, dear ones. Let's always pray, even though our prayers sometimes don't seem to be answered. Pray and don't faint. And let us endure tribulation and hardship and don't faint. Let's endure chastening. Don't faint with that. Let's go through well-doing. Don't be weary and don't faint. You're going to reap if you don't faint. If you don't relax, if you don't let go, and you just keep holding on to the Lord, you're going to reap if you faint not. So we have many admonitions in the scripture. Don't faint when you're going through these things. Now, it's not just not enough to know that I'm not supposed to faint. Did you know that there's something in the scriptures this morning that gives me great joy? There are reasons why we don't have to faint. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There are reasons why we don't have to faint. And it's not because he said don't faint. But here's what the Lord does. In 2 Corinthians 4, we mentioned this 2 weeks ago about living a crucified life and being and having the death and the crucifixion of Jesus being in us so that his life comes out of us. Now he goes on in 2 Corinthians 4 from those verses. In verse 12, he says, so then death works in us, but life in you. Now, it's not just that the life of Jesus is made manifested in me, but it's manifest in me for others. That's what this whole thing is. This really comes down to what God's doing in my life. It's not just for me, but it's for me working to serve you. What he does in my life through afflictions, he's doing it to help you. This is really a secret, I think, that's coming out of this scripture. And verse 15, it says, "For all things are for your sakes." This affliction that I'm going through, it's for you. And I want you to know, many times we look around and we look at the ministers of God that we know are true ministers, and they're filled with the Spirit, and what do you see? What's happening in a lot of their lives? Them or their spouses or their children. What's happening? Afflictions, hardships, troubles. And you look at that and you think, well, that's the preacher. Why is his wife so sick? Why are they having so much trouble? Paul says right here, "For all things are for you." It's for the ones that we minister to. Paul said at one time, "Don't faint at my tribulations that I'm enduring. Don't faint at these things. These things are for you." And he says, "All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might," and let's skip the little phrase in there, "it might redound," or abound is the better word for it, "to the glory of God." And how does it abound? It abounds through the thanksgiving of many. Now, let's look at this a little bit. For all things, everything that I'm going through has a purpose. And most of the purpose that it has is to bless and help others. Why? How is it that they can be helped? How is it that God can be glorified? It says that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, abound, to the glory of God. Because of the prayers, because of the thanksgiving being given as we pray for one another, because of that, when you pray for your minister or for your minister's family or for another minister or whatever, when you pray, when you get into that with a burden, and when the Lord blesses and answers prayer, it causes something. There's thanksgiving that abounds. I've read about when one of our ministers went to Africa and was so sick and came back, and it might have been another one too, but anyway, they got word that the children and the people in Africa who knew this person were fasting and praying, "God, spare this person, spare them, heal their body." And then whenever the Lord answered that prayer, what did they do? Those children and those people over there that loved this dear minister, they praised God. They worshiped God. It made a difference in them. That's what this is talking about. And then he says this, "For which cause we faint not, because I know that these afflictions, they abound the grace of God in lives, in other people. They bring, through the thanksgiving, they bring great glory to God. And this causes us not to faint, for which cause we faint not." And then he goes on and he says, "For though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." This is why we don't faint. We don't faint because through these things, the grace of God abounds. And we don't faint because God does something inside of us. Now, I want to speak just a little bit about renewal. In Isaiah 40, he says this. In verse 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know what this is referring to? The Jews believed that the eagle was a representation of what God does. And here's one of the things that they believed, is that the eagle's its wing feathers would fall off and it would grow new feathers and then be able to fly again. And he says here, this is what God, when that word mount up, that's what it means. You get new feathers. You're able to mount up. You're able to fly again. After losing, sometimes we feel like in our afflictions, oh, I'm worn out. I can't go again. I've lost something. Spiritually, we feel that way sometimes. Oh, I'm just so exhausted with this. What the Lord does is He causes us to grow new feathers. He renews. Yes, He takes things away, but He causes new growth. That's another meaning of the word renew, is to cause new growth, like in a sprout, like in grass, to cause it to grow again. He renews us. He renews us on the inside. That's how come we don't have to faint. We don't have to relax. We don't have to give in or give up, because God gives us strength in place of the strength that we lost. He gives us new strength. Dan many times talks about that scripture that says His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. New mercies for the new day. So God renews our strength. Another scripture that goes along with this is Psalms 103, where He says, He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So God renews us. That's why we don't faint. It's not us. It's not just that I'm holding on, but from the inside, God renews me. I'm so thankful for that. I just want to just check on another scripture here. That word renew, which is in 2 Corinthians, it's also in Colossians 3 and 10. And those are the only two times in the New Testament that word is. Only two times. And that's what this means. It means to cause new growth. It says, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So He renews us. He renews us in His knowledge. He renews our inner man. That's why He ever transforms the believer and makes him new again. That's what that means. I love that thought, because I know, to me, it is... It's reinforcing the belief that I have that salvation is not stagnant. It's not something, well, He saved me and now I'm saved and that's it. Salvation is God ever transforming us. He's always renewing us. He's always making us a new creature. Every day, that's what He does. That's why we don't faint. That's why we can go through. That's why we can endure. That's how come we can hold on. It's because He is our Savior. He constantly renews life in us. That's the secret. He does it different ways, but one way that I know that He does it is by renewing the love. Because love endures all things. When your love becomes stagnant, it just becomes a memory. It's not something that's giving you strength and endurance anymore. But when God renews your love, and we need it. We need that renewal, don't we? You need it in your marriage. You need it in raising your children. You need it dealing with all the things that we deal with. We need it for each other. A new love. Lord, give me a new love today. Give me, renew my love for you. Renew my love for my spouse. Renew my love for others that I deal with. The Lord can do that. He can make us able to endure.